This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. The program Antiques Roadshow has been on the air since 1997 in America, making this the 25th season. It remains the highest rated of any ongoing PBS series. On the surface, the show is about appraising objects that could be of value, but our next guest wrote about the show's impact and appeal beyond that, how it can be seen as comfort food television by being approachable, warm, and non-competitive. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of the show? If so, why? Have you ever attended one of their shows in person? What item did you bring? If so, call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Stephen Lurie is a writer and researcher. He wrote the piece, The Surprising Politics of Antiques Roadshow for The Atlantic. Stephen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I try to imagine the first pitch meeting for maybe the first British Antiques Roadshow. Yeah, people bring in their old stuff and we tell them about it and what it's worth. Like, it doesn't sound like a winning pitch. And yet, Stephen, it has obviously caught on. Why?
Yeah, it's a really an incredible story, I would say, both in the U.S., where it's been over 25 years now, and in the U.K., where it's well over 40, that this really simple format, which is basically an exchange of stories, what people know about their object and what experts can tell them about it, has remained so essential, such compelling viewing to audiences in both those countries and around the world. And I think the reason why, for my money, is that what it is touching on is not the ultimate value in dollar terms or pound terms, but really the things that all of us can cherish that are not about fast fashion, that are not about consumption, that are not about competition, but are concepts of family, community, history, and love. And we see over and over again watching the program how much those concepts, how central they are to our daily lives through the objects that we're able to pass down through generations and pass across our history.
I want to give a listen so we can hear a little bit about what makes the show unique.
Are you a wealthy man, Ted?
No.
Well, sir, I'm still a little nervous here, I have to tell you. On a really bad day, this textile would be worth $350,000. On a good day, it's about $500,000.
Oh, my God.
You had no idea.
I had no idea. I just laying on the back of a chair.
Well, sir, you have a national treasure.
And Stephen, I think, oh, wow, these people are going to cash in on this thing. But you write, not usually. Most people end up keeping the item, no matter how much it's worth.
That's right. And those moments that we get on the show where there's an unknown object that's worth a ton of money are super compelling. But so are the segments that we see where people decide to keep objects around that are worth almost no money. And that's because I think what we're getting to as we dig through the stories that an object like that blanket or someone's grandparents' toy or an heirloom drawing that has been passed down is the meaning that these objects have in people's lives that can never be replaced by money. And that's such a countercultural message in this day and age that I think it attracts viewers, and it's a little bit of an escape from our day-to-day concerns and from the rest of the television programming that we have to choose from.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Stan is with us in De Pere. Stan, hi.
Yeah, hi. I love Antique Roadshow. And I was actually on the show when they came to Green Bay. I had a couple of items that got appraised. I ended up being featured on the behind-the-scenes show that PBS put on, so it was great fun, and I'd definitely go again.
Yeah, was it, Stan, was it fun to hear the story behind the stuff that you had?
Yeah, it was great actually being in line with all the other people and hearing their stories as well, you know, while you were waiting to get the appraisal. So the whole atmosphere of the whole thing was great, and I love watching the show. I almost never miss the show.
Stan, thanks so much for sharing that. We heard also from Dave, who commented on Facebook. He says he went to a taping in Chicago in the 90s. Fun, surprisingly well organized. Everyone's given a time during the day to show up. They categorize your item, direct you to the appropriate appraiser, so it moves quickly and smoothly. It was an enjoyable time, Dave says. So yeah, it seems like a pretty, you know, chill, sort of low stakes thing to take part in, Stephen.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, as with many things, the pandemic has changed a little bit about how both productions are doing business. But during normal times, the amazing thing about this show is it's not just a TV program. It's also a community event. You know, it is accessible to anyone who wants to show up and to be there to learn about all this rich material culture that we have. And again, I think that is something really exceptional, that it is about really celebrating and investigating all these intricacies of different times and places that we don't get during our normal daily life.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Stephen Lurie about Antiques Roadshow. He wrote a piece about it in The Atlantic. Stephen, you did write about one thing that maybe jars some people when artifacts come from other places around the world, other cultures, and it's not certain how they got from there to here and whether there was exploitation at some point along the way. That's something that doesn't really get tackled directly on the show, it sounds like.
No, that's one place where I do give a little bit of criticism, because I think the show is an exceptional example of public education for the most part. You can really learn a lot of history. But at the same time, there are objects that have complicated paths to how they get here, whether it was through theft or dispossession, conquering, foreign exploitation. And what I'd love to see to further enrich the show is a little bit of more of a presence of that history, because I think that can enrich the stories that we tell about them, you know, rather than devalue them, to really know that they're these beautiful objects and we need to honor what happened, perhaps where they came from, a little bit more than we normally recognize. At the same time, I do credit the show for excluding objects from even being shown on the program, such as Nazi memorabilia, that's going to inherently put value on those sorts of things.
Now, one more kind of unique thing about the show, I think a lot of, if you watch home garden TV or that kind of thing, you end up with these kind of celebrity evaluators or real estate people or whatever, and it doesn't really seem to be celebrity driven. They're not trying to make stars out of their evaluators, right?
No, that's right. And, you know, there are definitely a couple appraisers, both here and in the UK, that have been on season after season after season. But at the same time, you could watch an episode and they might not be there. And I think that's part of the key to the sustainability of the show, is it doesn't depend on personalities and it doesn't depend on egos. It really depends on the stories that we're able to tell together and the amazing objects that they are accompanying.
You also compare and contrast with some commercial shows like American Pickers or Pawn Stars, where, you know, people are coming to get their stuff evaluated and then the evaluator may actually buy it. Can you point out the differences?
Absolutely. So I should also note that these shows are also extremely popular right now, although they've been around for not nearly as long. But shows like American Pickers or Pawn Stars focus on the buying and selling of these objects. And the purpose for the host, which again is really relying on the host's personalities, is to make money off of the exchange. And that puts the emphasis in a really different place. Right? It's on strategizing. It's on getting the best deal, getting the upper hand over the people that they're dealing with. And I think that sends a very different message and puts a different moral emphasis than when you are really having people come together to discuss about their love for the object rather than their desire to make money.
Does a chill show like Antiques Roadshow hit you differently over the course of the pandemic, where there's a lot of anxiety and stress out there?
I mean, for me, definitely. Part of my way into this piece was finding that this show was a great escape from our current time and place. You know, not only that, but watching it is like watching, you know, a great gathering of community. And I think it helps, you know, set the stakes a little bit for ourselves about how long history is, how many different times and places there have been, and, you know, what might still be to come and what else is out there. So I think it's a great reassurance for anyone looking for a little bit of dip out of the day-to-day stresses they might be facing.
You looked at the future of the show too, based on who's watching it now and who might be watching in the future. What could change over the years?
Yeah, well, I think it's tricky, and I'm also a little hopeful. The current audience in both the UK and here skews towards older populations, who have been watching this show for a long time. And there's not the same viewership among younger folks. And I think that's a problem if the show is going to stay on long term. But I also note that there is some hip, cool, new approaches to history that you see on social media networks like Instagram and TikTok, and a real real attraction to uncovering secret histories and unknown facts that I think can resonate with younger generations. I'm hopeful that if the show becomes a little bit more accessible on bigger streaming platforms, maybe it adds a couple tweaks here and there, it can start to reach those kids too.
I've been racking my brain, Stephen. I'm not sure if I was to go to Antique Roadshow, what I would bring to get assessed there. Would you want to be on the show?
No, you know, I'm not sure either. If I had something, I think it would be a great experience. But no, I mean, for my money, looking around my apartment right now, can't say I have anything particularly of interest. I'll have to be a viewer for now.
Excellent. Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That's Stephen Lurie. He's a writer, and he wrote a piece about Antiques Roadshow in The Atlantic. And you could still share your thoughts on Antiques Roadshow. Are you a regular viewer? Have you gone to a taping of the show yourself? Let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. That's the Ideas Network Facebook page with your Antiques Roadshow love and or experiences. Or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR.